Welcome to Give Me 5101, an introduction to federal procurement and a guide to SAM, or the System for Award Management. This webinar will provide a basic overview of the opportunities in federal contracting and how to register to get federal work. I am Michael Frabel, Program Coordinator for Women Impacting Public Policy. We'll begin the session in a moment, but first I have a few brief housekeeping notes for today's webinar. For those of you who are not familiar with WIP, we are a national nonpartisan public policy organization advocating on behalf of nearly 1 million women-owned businesses and representing over 67 business organizations. WIP provides timely economic policy information and identifies important trends and opportunities to its membership. Now, the Give Me 5 program, named for the 5% women-owned small business contracting goal set by Congress, is a national program from WIP and American Express Open designed to educate women business owners on how to apply for and secure federal procurement opportunities with the goal of increasing the representation of women business owners that win government contracts nationally. I am pleased to be able to introduce today's course instructor, Gloria Larkin. Gloria is a WIP national partner and president of Target Gov. Gloria is a nationally recognized expert on federal contracting and helps companies of all sizes enter the marketplace and win government contracts. She's received numerous awards for her work, including WIP Member of the Year and 2010 SBA's Women in Business Champion in Maryland. So without any further ado, I'm going to turn this over to the reason you all came here, which is Gloria's presentation.
Thank you very much, Michael. It's a pleasure to be here today, and it's an exciting time to be in federal contracting, especially as a woman-owned business. Even with all of the talking heads out there predicting doom and gloom because of budget cuts, et cetera, the fact of the matter is the U.S. federal government remains the world's largest customer. It is the world's Fortune 1 customer, spending more money than any other single entity on the face of the earth. And the federal government spends over $500 billion, with a B, billion dollars a year. With a women-owned small business goal of 5%, some simple math gives us about a $25 billion potential spend with women-owned small businesses, which the federal government has never come close to. So that is why this is an extraordinarily exciting time for us to be positioned to win federal contracts. The markets include a wide range of agencies, not just Department of Defense, which is usually front and center in the news, but also all of the civilian agencies like Health and Human Services, Social Security Administration, and non-military entities. But there's also the intelligence market. Over 15 different agencies serve the intelligence market. So not only do you have the Department of Defense and all the military bases that are scattered throughout the, not just the U.S., but the world, but every other federal agency and entity, of which, believe it or not, there are over 200. And the federal government buys virtually every type of product and service that you can imagine. If it's legal, they're buying it. So the good news is it's not just a market where you're selling widgets or products to the government, but services as well. And we're going to take a look at what some of those numbers are related to the market. And from a location standpoint, I know that today we have folks attending today's session from all over the United States. We're going to talk about the fact that the market is not just U.S.-wide, but worldwide. So let's just give a very quick recap of the Federal Woman-Owned Small Business Program. And it is called the WOSB Program. A lot of folks have started to call it the 8M program, but the Small Business Administration, the federal government, is calling it the WOSB. So right off of the bat, we want you to get familiar with that term. Way back in 1994, the actual law was passed that gave women-owned small business a 5% set aside contracting goal. But then nothing happened for over 10 years. And finally, WIP stepped up and with an extraordinary effort helped to get the stage set so that on October 7th in 2010, the Small Business Administration finally published the final rule aimed at expanding the federal contracting women-owned small business opportunities for both regular WOSB companies and the new designation EDWOSB companies. I'm not going to go through the details on both of these. WIP and Give Me Five have fabulous resources and webinars available on demand for you to gain all of the information about this program. But the reason I bring it up is the stage is set. The table is set. The door is wide open for women-owned small businesses to step up and take part in this extraordinary market. Let's take a look at some of the top agencies and what they're spending every year. Well, the Department of Defense is a huge number. Look at that, $374 billion. Under Department of Defense, you have all of the military and related organizations, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, etc. So it is a huge number, and when we've been involved in wars for as long as we are, you know why that number is as large as it is. And now with budget cuts and us pulling out of various locations from a military perspective, we'll see some of that reduced. However, let's take a look at the other large spending. Department of Energy, Department of Health and Human Services, Veterans Affairs. These agencies and entities by themselves have larger budgets than many countries do. So while we get used to looking at these large numbers, the fact of the matter is that this is an extraordinary business opportunity for those well-positioned and savvy business people to pursue the market. What is the government buying? Well, let's just take a look at the top products and services. And it's interesting to me that the vast majority of them are service-oriented. However, the federal government buys virtually every product you can imagine. So if you are in the business of supplying products, the federal government is a great market to explore. But let's take a look at some of the services. Engineering and technical services was the biggest spend, $17.2 billion in the last full fiscal year. Other data processing and telecommunications services, $15 billion. Then we get into some products, drugs and biologicals, $12 billion. Professional services, $13 billion. A lot of business women do not understand that the service market is the largest market in the federal government. So not to despair if you're whatever type of services you're providing, there is an excellent chance that the federal government is actually buying what you're providing. And there's another Give Me Five webinar that gives you the information about how to use government resources to find out exactly who is buying the products or services that you're providing. So not only are we glad that you're attending today's webinar, but we want you to know that there's a whole resource library ready for you to jump into and learn how to identify who exactly is buying what you're providing. But from a geographic standpoint, prime contracts, I'm going to talk about two different types, prime contracts and subcontracts. But first, the prime contracts. This is the government buying directly from you. them buying from you either via a credit card or a negotiated contract or a vehicle like a GSA schedule, if you're familiar with that. And a lot of people think, well, I need to be in the middle of Washington, D.C. I'm not going to get much business if I don't have an office in D.C. I wanted to show you this map so that you would understand that you can do business no matter where you are located. You'll be able to do business with an entity or multiple entities working with the federal government. So not only is the D.C. area a rich area, but Florida is, Texas is, California is. And you can tell by the shading on the map of the United States, some of the other very lucrative geographies in which to do business with the federal government. So even if your state is not one of the darker colors, don't worry, because every single entity, every single state is doing business with the U.S. federal government. So you can check out who in your own backyard is a good target so that you can sell directly to the U.S. federal government. And if you're the prime, you have a generally pretty heavy burden to carry. I'm going to go back to that slide for a minute. As a prime contractor, you have the full responsibility, legal, accounting, and all of the reports, et cetera, all fall on your shoulders. Now, that's not bad if you're ready to take on that burden, and you can become very successful when you're ready to take on that burden. Millions of dollars worth of business and more are ready for you. But let's say you're not ready to take on that entire burden. Instead, you want to explore being a subcontractor. That means you're contracting directly under the prime contractor. So you don't have the full legal responsibility or accounting requirements or full reporting requirements. All those all fall on the shoulders of the prime contractor. So you as a subcontractor, you still have opportunities no matter where you're located throughout the United States. East Coast, West Coast, Midwest, the South, you have stellar opportunities to do business with the U.S. federal government as a subcontractor. A little less burdensome, a little less fraught with paperwork and responsibilities. So there's two different ways to think about opening up this market, you as a prime contractor or you as a subcontractor. Let's talk about a success story so you get a feel for this. Jennifer Bisegli is president of Interos Systems, and what she provides is supply chain risk management services to civilian defense and intelligence agencies. She helps them analyze how they're supplying their services and products to their constituents and determine ways to make it less risky, less expensive, more effective, etc. Well, she started her business in 2005 with zero revenues. And in 4 short years, she exceeded over $3 million in revenues. And her customers include Department of Homeland Security, Defense Logistics Agency, and the Department of the Navy. Jennifer is extraordinarily involved in WIP as our chairperson, and so she really has jumped in with both feet to be successful in the federal government marketplace. It's a good example of how you can see success, starting off as a one-person operation and growing to over 5, 10, 20, 30, 50 people. Let's take a look at a second success story. And this is another WIP member. Their company's name is called Group Z. And they were just awarded a $2.9 million contract to provide hardware maintenance support to the Office of Personnel Management. They handle quite a few different services for the U.S. federal government, as you can see in the paragraph below. And $2.9 million was one of their first federal contracts. So we want to say congratulations to both Interos Solutions and Group Z, two WIP members that are really setting the stage for us to be able to see that it is indeed doable to win multi-million dollar contracts in the U.S. federal government marketplace. So in order to do that, what's your first step? Step number one. And that is get registered with SAM, S-A-M, SAM.gov. You can see that website on the bottom of your screen. And for those of you who may be following along directly with the PowerPoint, we are on slide 16. SAM is relatively new. For good or for bad, and for those of you who have been on it, you know what I mean. It hasn't necessarily been the easiest transition. Originally, it was called the Central Contractor Registration, CCR. And then SAM was developed for the purpose of unifying 9 different websites into one. These 9 websites are all part of what has to be incorporated into doing business with the federal government. So far, SAM has been able to incorporate the work of Central Contractor Registration, CCR, and ORCA, O-R-C-A. If you're looking at the screen right now, they're over to the right-hand side. You can see Central Contractor Registration and right below that, ORCA. And there's also something called EPLS, which is at the bottom part of the graphic. Those 3 websites so far have been incorporated into SAM. The rest of the 9 websites will be incorporated into SAM over the coming years. So I'm going to tell you, as a businesswoman, I'm just like you. I am a contractor, and I do not work for the federal government. And when SAM was started, they had a lot of problems with it. Transitioning from CCR to SAM was fraught with problems. So if you had problems accessing your record, updating your record, you are not alone. We're going to talk about the help process as we discuss SAM. But right now, it's much, much better. They have paid attention to the problems we were all experiencing and have worked to start remedying that situation. So let's talk about what SAM is. It is, first of all, the first bullet on slide number 17, it is a federal government owned and operated website that is available to you for free, no cost. And I'm telling you this for a reason. There's some companies out there who have figured out how to use Google AdWords and a few other search engines, and they try to hijack you and bring you to their website first before you go to the legitimate federal website. And the reason I want you to know right off the bat that SAM is free is because some of these websites will charge $200, $300, $600 for you to be able to register. And that's totally unnecessary. And in my eyes, I wonder if it's even legal for them to charge you money for this. But nonetheless, right now, we're giving you heads up, buyer beware. If somebody tries to charge you any money, you're at the wrong website. Make sure you type in the full address, which is www.sam.gov. The purpose on the middle bullet of this website is to consolidate the capabilities of a number of various websites into one. Hopefully, in the long run, it will make our lives much, much easier. But right now, just know that it's a mandatory registration. If you are going to do business with the federal government or are even thinking of doing business with the federal government, you want to get registered in SAM. Let me give you a little screenshot. This is what happens if you go to Google and type in SAM.gov. The first two links that show up give the appearance of being official, but they're not. You don't want to go there. They will charge you money. The third listing is the legitimate System for Award Management, or SAM.gov. So it's the third listing in Google, not one of the first. Just a heads up, no matter if you're using Yahoo or Bing or you have an iPhone or an iPad, make sure you type in the full address to go to the legitimate federal website, which looks just like this. This is the actual legitimate website. And you will see the top hat across the top with SAM in capitalization. And the purpose of this whole website is to integrate the whole government contracting process, elimination of data redundancies, and reducing costs overall. And gosh, we all know that with the budget reductions, we all want federal costs reduced. It's our tax money at work. So the good news is SAM will help us get to that point. Let's take a look at what you need to do in order to create a SAM account. When you go to this website, you see the little light blue box over to the right-hand column where it says Create User Account. You would click on that button saying Create User Account, and then you would choose the individual SAM account. You will simply provide the requested information and click on Submit. We're going to go into a little bit more of what this detail is in just a few slides. So bear with me, this is an overall process of creating the SAM account right here. You'll receive email notifications to validate your SAM registration, just like you would do if you logged into any other website. They want you to be able to validate the fact that the email you gave them is correct. So they'll send you an email saying, click here to validate your SAM account. And that is legitimate. You do want to go ahead and click there. And in a few slides, we'll talk about exactly what kind of information they'll be looking for. Once you have the actual SAM account, this bottom bullet on slide number 20, notice that it has an HTTPS, which means it's a secure website. This is important for you because you will actually be giving them information related to your bank accounts, and you only want to give that information when you know that you're on a secure website. And that's what this https://sam.gov. That's where you'll actually go to log in with the username and password that you will have created by clicking on that Create User Account button that's shown on the right-hand side of your screen. What kind of data will you need to register? A lot of people think that this is a complicated process, and frankly, it's not. These seven items are what you'll need to have on hand in order to register. The first one is your taxpayer identification number. And if you are a sole proprietor, you can simply use your Social Security number. If you are a corporation or an LLC, you'll use your taxpayer identification number, which you have been assigned. And if you've ever filed taxes as a business, you'll know exactly what that number is because it's on every tax return you ever filed. So that's a simple way to get started. You will also be asked for your DUNS, D-U-N-S, number. This number is not assigned by the federal government. It's actually assigned by Dun and Bradstreet, which is a credit reporting company that the U.S. government uses as a vendor for these numbers specifically. If you have ever filed taxes at the state level or the federal level, you've been assigned a DUNS number. It's different from the TIN or tax number. Your DUNS number is individually assigned to your business, and every location you have will have its own DUNS number. So if you only have one location, you will only have one DUNS number. But if you have two offices or two stores or two or three or four locations, each one of those locations will have a separate DUNS number. Now, this is something else that is assigned for free. So if you go to Dun & Bradstreet and look up your DUNS number, you can find it for free. If you do not yet have one, you can ask Dun & Bradstreet to give it to you for free. They will try to sell you services for $300, $400, $500 because, you know, they're a business and they're in business to sell services. You do not have to buy any services to be assigned a DUNS number. That's just a little inside information. In order to do business with the federal government, it should not cost you a dime in order to get these registrations completed. Then the third item you'll need are your NAICS, N-A-I-C-S, and people pronounce it all different ways. It's like, you know, tomato, tomato, and any pronunciation is absolutely fine. I happen to say NAICS, N-A-I-C-S, codes. This is a code that describes the industry that you're in. When you go to SAM.gov, there's a link that you can look up your NAICS code. You can have more than one. If you provide a range of services, you may find that you might need two or three or more NAICS codes, and that's absolutely fine. At least, though, have one. Then we get into your bank account information, and this is what usually starts making people a little leery. You know, why do I have to put my bank account information on SAM? Well, I'm going to give you a very good reason why. It's how you are paid. SAM registration is how you are paid by the federal government. So that's why they need your bank account information. If you're serious about pursuing these contracts, you're going to want to get paid. And they pay you electronically, in overnight or within a few days at the max, directly into your bank account. It's a beautiful thing. So that's why they're asking for your bank account information. They will ask for points of contact. Who are the people in your company that they need to get in touch with if they need clarification on your bank account or clarification on references or any other information? So if you're a one-woman operation, it will be your name at every single point of contact that they're asking for. But if you have a bookkeeper or an accountant, or you have a business development person, or you have a CFO, you're going to want to put their individual names and contact information in the correct spots. The government will ask you, do you accept credit cards for payment? Because you know the federal government buys billions of dollars worth of products and services through Visa and MasterCard. It's another beautiful way to do business with the federal government. So my suggestion is that you say yes, that you accept government credit cards, and then you make the arrangements with your bank to be able to do so when they want to purchase something through a Visa or MasterCard. And last but not least, representations and certifications information. This is where they're asking you to indicate legally what kind of business you are from a size standpoint, meaning, are you a small business? And if you're a small business, what kind of small business? Are you woman-owned? Are you veteran-owned? Are you located in a hub zone? Are you certified with a particular certification? One is called 8A. Another is the WOSB certification. This is your legal representation of the size of your business. And this is under your control. So you certainly don't want to indicate that you're a large business if indeed you're small, or vice versa. If you're a large business and you misrepresent yourself as a small business, that can be a serious violation. So this is something that you certainly want to understand. It's not difficult. It's not complicated, but you just want to make sure and answer honestly and start the ball, this whole ball game with everything accurately indicated. On your individual SAM account, this is where you will perform various tasks as register or update your entity. If you move your office, we just moved our office a few months ago, so we had to go into our SAM account and update it and put our new address in. If you have personnel turnover, you want to make sure you have the right points of contact in it. And if there is official use only information, that's what FOUO stands for, is a for official use only. This is where the government also has access to that official information, such as what companies have been excluded from being a government contractor. What do I mean by that? Exclusion. Do you see the green and purple colors on the screen? We're now on slide 22, if you're following along from the PowerPoint. This snapshot of the companies listed, the green buttons indicate that these companies are registered as federal contractors and available to win federal contracts. Those with the purple button, it's bad news. They have been legally excluded from winning federal contracts for some reason. It's usually a negative. It's always a negative if there's a purple button by your name. You don't want that because that means something is wrong, usually seriously wrong, in whatever the history is with the company regarding doing business with the government. So these particular companies have been, these two on the bottom part of the page, have been prohibited from doing business with the federal government. You never want to see that purple button next to your name. And this is one of the areas that you could actually look up your competition and find out if they've got the green button or the purple button next to their name to be able to help you understand if they are able to bid on contracts or for some reason not allowed to win contracts. Speaking of searching, SAM gives you the ability to search all of the companies that are registered to do business with the federal government. Anybody can search and look at those companies. You can look up your own company name. You can look up competitors. You can see how they're registered, who their points of contact are, how many offices they have, if there's any exclusion issues related to them doing business with the government. Anybody in the world can access the basic registration information of your account. But I want to assure you that they cannot see any private or security-related information, such as your bank account information, your tax ID number. They cannot see that. They can only see publicly available information. So don't worry that this is going to let anybody see anything that you'd be worried about. That will not happen. So if you do want to go to SAM.gov and search, take a look at your own record. If you've already put one in, maybe under CCR, and you haven't looked at your recent record, please do that. That should be an action item. And the reason is that some of the transitions did not go so smoothly, and you want to make sure that your individual record is accurate in every way, and if not, to update it to make sure that it is accurate. It also gives you the ability to search for records by location. If you're looking for a teaming partner and you wanted to find a teaming partner who had a certain NAICS code and was geographically located in a particular area and carried particular types of products or services, SAM gives you that ability to search on all of those areas. It makes it very, very clear for you and easy to find companies that you may look at as teaming partners, subcontractors, or even potential prime contractors. If you need to register or update your own entity, that's where you would go to the original homepage of SAM.gov and click on the white button that you see in the left-hand box here where it says register or update your entity. You would click on the white button and go fill out the information, which is your DUNS number and other specific information to pull up your own record so that you can update yours and make sure that everything is accurate so that you can start winning these federal contracts. And I mentioned earlier, we'll cover the help desk and help issues. Well, because SAM's launch was a little rocky, they have developed a pretty extensive help program. There are frequently asked questions or facts available to you. There's actually an extraordinarily extensive user guide that is quite extensive. I think it's over 100 pages long in a PDF format. You can download it and save it to your desktop and be able to access it at your convenience. There's even demo videos for you to watch if you prefer to see a video of how to register in SAM. And you can leave emails if you have problems that aren't addressed through the fax user guides or demo videos. It's tough to find a phone number in order to get help with SAM. Most often, they're asking you to go through the three steps of looking through the fax, the user guides, or the videos, and then the fourth step of sending an email if you're still having problems. But generally, now most of the hiccups have been resolved in the program, so you shouldn't have much of a problem in your registration for SAM. Well, Michael, we've gone through an awful lot very quickly. Would you like to open up the phones for questions?
Yes, absolutely. We're going to go ahead and try and get some Q&A going here. As I mentioned, you can enter any questions you have in the chat box, but if you can hold on one moment, I'm going to switch the phones over to see if we have audio clarity enough to open up these lines. Okay, I've just set the phones now. We have one question here from Lisa F., who's asked, can we print out a copy of this PowerPoint? And the answer to that is, I will be sending, following this call, a podcast recording of the webinar, as well as a copy of this presentation. So you should receive that this afternoon or tomorrow morning at the latest as that's processed. Now, if anybody has a question they would like to answer on the line, anybody can now push *6 on your telephone keypad, and then you will be heard and you can ask a question. I'll leave just a moment for anybody to ask.
Yes, I have a question. Hello?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yes, if you're already registered in the CCR and ORCA, is there a way to have your information transferred over to SAM? We tried doing that earlier in the year, and there were a lot of problems. Or do you have to go in and register in SAM as if you were a first-time register?
That's a great question. And earlier on, you're right, there were many, many problems with that automatic transition. Now, it should have happened automatically if your record was up to date. If you had an old CCR registration that you must update it annually to keep it active. If you had an inactive CCR registration, you may need to totally register again new if it was inactive. But if it is active, then it should have automatically transitioned by now into SAM.gov. First thing I would suggest doing is going into SAM.gov and doing a search for your company name to see if it comes up.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And I'd like to just jump in really quickly to remind everybody, you can press *6 on your keypad, and if you are done asking a question and want to remute your line, you just push that *6 again.
I had a quick question, if possible.
Sure.
It's kind of indirectly related, but are there any rules as to if you work for the government, are you still allowed to do business with them, or does it matter if you work on a state level? Can you do business with the federal government or county level, or are there any rules in that respect?
Generally, and the first thing I'll tell you is I am not a lawyer, but I can give you some general recommendations. If you are a state employee or any other government level employee, there's no restrictions. You can have a business, you can register yourself as a sole proprietor, you can do business with the federal government. There are some restrictions if you are a federal employee, and I would strongly recommend you check with your own staff supervisor to ask what those restrictions are. Most often, they state that you cannot do business with the agency with whom you work, but you could provide services for other agencies. But there you're getting into a gray area, and I would strongly recommend talking to your supervisor or HR-related supervisors and get that clarified.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. I see Penny Ann Barr has asked a question that asks about what is the title of the webinar or presentation that addresses the types of services that the agencies purchase. And offhand, I don't know what the title of it is. Michael, do you remember, is it resources or something along those lines?
Yeah, we have a number of webinars that you'll be able to find on, it's at giveme5.com under the curriculum list of courses. There's a whole list of podcasts and presentations that you can get on demand there. There are quite a few that address this question, but particularly there is one, giveme5106, does the government buy what I sell, which actually is a guide to figuring out what if the federal government buys this product or service your business offers.
It's a great webinar because it teaches you how to use some of the basic resources that the government makes available. I mean, it's your tax dollars at work paying for it, so you might as well use it, right?
And we do have some time for a couple of more questions. I did have just one for you, Gloria. What is next after registration? What do you think would you say is the next big step for people?
I have a quick question.
Sure. I'll address both. Go ahead. Who's online?
Oh, could you hear me? Okay. I wasn't sure if I was unmuted. What if you're an agent for a company? Like if you have a client that you want to be able to, and you're working for this client to introduce a product to the federal government, what does that look like in terms of structuring? If you've got your business, it's not necessarily your product that you're developing, but your client's.
There's a situation that you're talking about most often that's called a business development representative. And if you have your business structured so that you would actually be selling somebody else's product to the government and the government's still paying you directly and then you pay the manufacturer, you would still register in SAM as a business entity and proceed. However, there are some businesses that, let's say there's a manufacturer out there and they want somebody to help them open up the federal government marketplace, but they don't want you to sell directly to them. They want you to serve as a outsourced salesperson. Then you probably would not register in SAM because the sale would still go directly to them, and then they would pay you for whatever services you're providing. Does that address the situation that you're talking about?
Yes, it does. Thank you very much.
Okay. And then to answer Michael's question about what's next after this, after you've registered in SAM, the good news is you've opened up the door. You are ready then, once you're registered, to accept payments for your products or services. But you have to then identify who are you targeting, what agencies do you want to go after. And that relates to some of these other on-demand webinars that are available for free right from giveme5.com. The best thing to do is start marketing yourself directly to the targets. This is one of those one of those situations where relationships matter. And women-owned businesses are usually pretty good at building relationships with potential customers. And that's why I think it's a perfect time for women-owned businesses to start pursuing opportunities with the U.S. federal government. And don't be afraid to think big. Remember, we had billions of dollars being spent. So if you're used to having revenues in the hundreds of thousands, let's start getting to think about millions of dollars in revenues. If you're already in the millions, like Jennifer and Group Z earlier on, maybe you can think of being in the tens of millions in revenue. This is a market that really opens up those doors.
Thanks, Gloria. And we did have one question that came in over the chat. Tina writes, on SAM, I was trying to update my business information that I kind of lost my ability to see it for a moment. I'm trying to update my business information that have changed since I registered on the CCR, but the changes are not taking effect. I kept getting the message to choose a business type, which I did, but it will not update. What do you have to do to complete this update?
Yeah, that's one of those bugs that still may be apparent in SAM, and it's very frustrating. But the first thing I want you to do is make sure that when you are updating, that you may not realize it, but you have to scroll all the way to the bottom of the field or screen and click Apply. A lot of people think that all they do is update the data and that it will take effect. I wish it were that simple. Just scroll to the bottom and then click Apply. On every individual step, you must click that button that says Apply, and then it should take effect. If for some reason it's still not taking effect, then you want to escalate it, send an email documenting it, and asking for their assistance. Usually what they do then is go in and unlock your record and then make it available to you to apply the changes.
Thanks, Gloria. And we had one more question come in over the chat line as well from Lisa F. Do we have to be actually, quote-unquote, certified as a small woman business owner to call ourselves one when registering with SAM?
It is important to know what this is about. That's a great question, Lisa, because a lot of people are calling themselves women-owned business, and then they find themselves bidding on contracts that are set aside for women-owned businesses, but they haven't gone through the certification steps. So you can call yourself a woman-owned business in SAM. I am a woman-owned business in SAM. I am not yet certified as a woman-owned small business. So before I would bid as a prime contractor or a subcontractor on any opportunity that was set aside for women-owned businesses, then you must be certified. So let me say that again. You can call yourself a woman-owned small business at any time, and that's fine, if, especially when you are one. Of course, only call yourself one if you are one. Let's make that assumption. However, if you were then to bid on a contract that is specifically set aside for women-owned or economically disadvantaged women-owned small business, you must be certified officially before you can bid and win.
Thank you. Thank you, Gloria.
I have a question.
Now go right ahead. We're getting close. I just wanted to say we're getting close to winding up, so I think we have time for just one or two more questions, but please go ahead and ask.
I had an agency to call me yesterday, and they were actually looking for an 8A. And I indicated that I was certified as a woman-owned business. And I'm trying to figure out, does that not take precedence over the 8A? Does it have parity?
There's parity. Parity meaning that they're finally women-owned small businesses are on equal footing with the other types of certifications. Now, that being said, different types of certifications have assigned different goals. For instance, women-owned small business are supposed to get 5% of the contract dollars. 8As are supposed to get 5%. And then hub zones are supposed to get 3%. So when an agency would call you, and that's pretty cool that an agency calls you trying to look for a contractor, if they are specifying that they're looking for an 8A company, what they may be saying is that we are not making our goals in the 8A category, and we need to find an 8A company that can help us meet our goals. Or the other situation is that 8A has something that women owned does not have, and that is the ability to offer a sole source contract where it does not have to go out to bid.
Okay.
And more than likely, that's what they were alluding to.
All right. Okay, thank you.
Certainly.
Thank you. And I'm going to let us just allow time for one more question if anybody has one. Well, okay. If you have questions that come up after this webinar that maybe you think of afterwards you didn't have a chance to ask, Gloria's contact information has been provided by her right here on the webinar. You also have my email address, and you can go to the Give Me 5 website as well to find any other information. So, Gloria, thank you very much for providing this presentation for us today. It's always a pleasure to have you join Give Me 5.
And great to be here. Thanks, Mike.
And thank you to everybody else on the line for participating in this call. I hope you found the session helpful. Following this call, you will receive links to the podcast of this session along with a brief survey. And your feedback is very important to us. That's how we bring you the most relevant and important information we can. So please take a moment to fill out that survey so we can bring you the best training we possibly can put together. I'd also like to let you all know about the next upcoming Give Me 5 webinars. We have quite a few of them coming up. You may have heard Gloria mention GSA schedules. We're going to be going into depth with Give Me 5 105 on January 30th, looking at GSA schedules, the reality versus the myth, helping you figure out if it's right for your business to pursue a GSA schedule. And we'll also be diving a little deeper into the system for award management on February 20th. So if you're trying to get registered and having any problems, I definitely recommend joining us for navigating the system for award management, Give Me 5102, on February 20th. And you'll find that these start to get a little bit more advanced as the year goes on. So Give Me 5210, we're looking at the Oasis on the horizon. GSA is starting up a new schedule that we'll be talking about, and some basics on the Service Contract Act and the implications for pricing on that will be coming up as well. So visit giveme5.com to find out any more about those and register for upcoming courses. I appreciate having you all on the call today once again. And WIP and American Express Open are dedicated to opening federal procurement opportunities for women business owners. Thank you all very much.